नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We're reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 12. At least that's what I understood from Bhaktidhari. That's the right verse?
Yes.
Okay. Let's chant together. You have your little devices and you can look on. Naishkaramyam apyuchat bhavam varjitam. Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam.
Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam.
Kutak panak shashvad abhadra ishore.
Kutak panak shashvad abhadra ishore.
Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam.
Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam.
Naishkarmyam apyuchata. Naishkarmyam apyuchata bhava varjitam.
Naishkarmyam apyuchata bhava varjitam.
Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam.
Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam.
Kutak panak shashvad abhadra ishvare.
Kutak panak shashvad abhadra ishvare.
Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam.
Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam.
Naishkarmyam.
Naishkarmyam.
Self-realization.
Self-realization.
Being freed from the reactions of fruitive work.
Being freed from the reactions of fruitive work.
Api.
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Achyuta.
Achyuta.
The infallible Lord.
The infallible Lord.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Conception.
Conception.
Varjitam.
Varjitam.
Devoid of.
Devoid of.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Does not.
Shobhate.
Shobhate.
Look well.
Look well.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Transcendental knowledge.
Transcendental knowledge.
Alam.
Alam.
By and by.
By and by.
Niranjanam.
Niranjanam.
Free from designations.
Free from designations.
Kutaha.
Kutaha.
Where is.
Where is.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Shashvat.
Shashvat.
Always.
Always.
Abhadram.
Abhadram.
Uncongenial.
Uncongenial.
Ishare.
Ishare.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Arpitam.
Arpitam.
Offered.
Offered.
Karma.
Karma.
Fruitive work.
Fruitive work.
Yet api.
Yet api.
What is.
What is.
Akaranam.
Akaranam.
Not fruitive.
Not fruitive.
Translation. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that the result of such fruit of work may be offered for the service of the Lord, otherwise it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus when it, that's fruitive work, is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. So this is chapters Narada's instructions before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. His instructions to Narada, to Vyasa. And Vyasa is a literary incarnation of Krishna. There's references in the Pramana section of Tattva Sandarbha that indicate specifically he's Krishna himself who has come, so or an incarnation of Krishna, because different persons in the cycle of the four yugas, Vyasa is a post, and different persons occupy the post. In fact, it's Parashara, the father of Vyasa, who says that this is the best Vyasa. And even I previously was, he served in that position. Parashara Muni is one of the Chiranjivas, the long-living personalities. He served as a Vyasa two yuga cycles ago, he says. But this Vyasa, he's the best. He's an incarnation of Krishna. Otherwise, how could he have compiled Mahabharata the way that he did? It's a long description, but Vyasa is taking, although an incarnation of Krishna, he's taking the position as the disciple of Narada, where he did his task of compiling the Vedas and dividing them imperfectly or incompletely. Not that he made a mistake. He made no mistake. That was described earlier by Narada. You haven't made mistakes, but you've inordinately given emphasis to fruitive activities. Too much emphasis on fruitive activities. People are already inclined to fruitive activities, and now you've endorsed it. It's bona fide. Vyasa said, it's okay. Fruitive activities. So then Narada is describing, the previous two verses are very important verses, two different kinds of literature. Literature for the crows and literature for the swans. Literature for the crows is tossed in the rubbish, and crows go to the rubbish places. So the newspapers and those literatures that people read once and then throw away, they go in the rubbish. Literature for the crows. And they have a particular type of subject matter. Sense gratification. And then it's, you know, different manifestations of some like this sense gratification. So there's this section. Some like that sense gratification. So there's that section. And it's not just newspapers. It's novels and creative literature, that even news that just describes war and conflict and who did it to who and all of those kinds of things that have nothing to do with transcendence. That's a category of literature described in verse 10. And then verse 11, very important verse, so important to Prabhupada. I'm sure you mentioned it, but Prabhupada puts it in the preface of every single Bhagavatam volume. There's a transcendental literature, and that the distinction is the transcendental literature is glorification of the Supreme Lord. It's not glorification of sense gratification and ways to go about sense gratification. There's rubbish literature and there's transcendental literature. So this verse is following those two, where again, it's the subject is literature, because Vyasa is the literary incarnation, so he's receiving instruction from his spiritual master Narada on the nature of transcendental literature. And the indication given is, even if, what to speak of rubbish literature that doesn't even speak of anything to do with God and godliness, even if it's directionally religious, naish karmyam, it's describing activity that's done without fruitive intention, naish karmya, minus fruit of intention, activity, so teachings that essentially liberationist or impersonal literature that speak of doing activities for the sake of liberation, and they're not for the sake of fruitive activity, not for the sake of material gain. Naishkamyam api achuta bhava varjitam. Varjitam is devoid of achuta bhava. So that literature which is naishkarmya, but api achuta bhava varjitam, devoid of glorification of the infallible Lord. Not shobhate, it doesn't look good. That's a very polite way of saying this is wrong. It doesn't look good. Then what to speak of that literature that, aside from impersonal conclusions, just speaks about fruitive activities. So, in this one verse, the message that Narada is giving is these two other sections of the Vedas, Karmakanda and Jnanakanda section of the Vedas. It's not worthy of you, Vyasa. It's not you're feeling dissatisfied because you've written something that's unworthy of you, and it's not of the best interest for the reader. That's why it's unworthy of you. Best develop the topic. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Trigunya, the three modes of nature. Vishaya Veda. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature, and specifically Vishaya, how to be enjoyer of the three modes of material nature. That's this fruit of activities. That's the second half of the verse. The fruit of activities. 90-something percent of the four Vedas are dealing with processes of sacrifice that are intended for elevation through fruit of activities, karmakanda. Nishtraigunya Bhavarjuna. Very interesting. I mean, Krishna is saying, rise above the three modes of material nature. And so that means essentially that vast section of the Vedas, don't invest in that vast section of the Vedas. But they're, you know, that's the Vedas. It's the Vedas. What Vyas wrote was, or compiled, was the Vedas. He didn't make it up. It's from Narayana. And he compiled it. It wasn't wrong. It's with creation, even before creation, the Vedas exist. With creation comes this message of the Vedas, how to utilize the human form of life and the facilities and resources of creation in such a way that necessities of life can be provided and one can become gradually elevated to a higher state of consciousness, still, however, in the mood of enjoyment, because that's the spirit of the material world. People want to enjoy. They want to enjoy. And so religious enjoyment is provided. Religious enjoyment. And largely, another verse in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, most people think that's all there is. That's all there is. There isn't something more. What's all there is? Leading a religious life so that you can prosper in this life from your pious merits and after this life go to an even more prosperous situation in the heavenly region. Most people think there's nothing more than this. Krishna says it. And it's true. I've experimented with different audiences without giving the anecdotal narration. For the most part, that's what people think. And then, in contrast, is the first part of this verse that some people think, well, there is something more than that. What's that? That's something more than enjoying and going to the heavenly region, enjoying further. There's another section of the Vedas that says, what's the eternal identity of the soul that's enjoying, not enjoying, then enjoying, and then heavenly enjoyment. There's life after this life. So we're not this body. Life is beyond the body. So if there's the well-being of the body, then that's, what's the well-being of the soul? And so there's that section of the Vedas, Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, that deals with the soul. And whenever this pronoun saha is used, that is me. That's me. And I, you know, so the equating self with the Supreme. The idea of monism and becoming one with the Supreme. So what is being said in the first part is those activities that are done without fruit of intention, but there's no acknowledgement of the Supreme Lord and service to the Supreme Lord, nishobhate, not so good. So what is what's left? If it's not Karmakanda and Gyanakanda, what's left? And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is doing. It's giving that, you know, you say top of the mountain, there's the bottom or pyramid, the bottom base part, and then the middle part, and then there's the peak, the pinnacle. What those other portions of the Vedas are meant to bring one to. What's the pala? What's the Vedas are compared to a desire tree. And so there's different parts of the desire tree. There's leaves from Bhagavad Gita. There's leaves and branches and twigs. There's parts of a tree, or the tree of Vedic wisdom, that provide sense gratification, fruit of activities, and liberation. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Purushartha, there it is. But the Bhagavatam is saying there's the fifth standard, fifth stage. What's that? Well, it doesn't speak about it in the other section of the Vedas. Well, it hints at it, but it doesn't give sufficient emphasis, and that's the dissatisfaction of Vyasa that is being pointed out by Narada. You didn't do this other one. So do one that's just this other one. You already did the other one adequately. You did the karma, and you did the jnana. Now do the unalloyed devotion part. Just that. Because that's the nigama kalpatur galitam palam. It's the ripened fruit, galitam palam, of the desire tree. That which can fulfill all material and liberationist desires, the fruit of that, the purpose of the tree is to produce the fruit. And the fruit is this Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the introductory verses of the Bhagavatam. It's the ripened fruit. And those that just don't see that, they're somewhere in this region, the impersonal region or the fruit of activities region. And they may look at Srimad Bhagavatam through one of those two lenses. Where is it showing how I can gain prosperity in this life and the next? How is it showing how I can merge with Brahman? And that they're not with that lens, then they're not able to properly appreciate the Bhagavatam and his message, although it's very clear. It's very explicitly clear. This is not okay, what to speak of that? If the impersonal feature doesn't look so good, what to speak of that portion of the Vedas that deals with fruit of activities? Miserable in the beginning, middle, and end. Although the living entity in this material realm, they want happiness through fruit of activities. So then, what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, okay, you have some attraction for happiness through fruit of activities. That's your position. And as a result, you cannot see this, properly see the position of naishkarmya, or enjoying transcendental life of devotional service to the Supreme. You can't see that. So you like fruit of activities. Well, at least offer the fruits of those activities, or some of the fruits of those activities to the Supreme through acts of sacrifice. Then there's this, then it's karma yoga, then the tinge of connection with the Supreme by making sacrifice or offerings to the Supreme, then one's life can move in the direction of transcendence instead of staying in the realm of bondage. It's like chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the topmost position. The topmost position is mind fixed upon me, intelligence always engaged in my service. This is the topmost position. And if you aren't there yet, topmost position, then you can engage in the regulative principles of bhakti. For by so doing, you'll develop the desire to attain to that topmost stage. But supposing you go, following the regulations of bhakti yoga, I don't know if I can do that. What about me? So then, all right, then try to work for me. Perform your fruitive work, but offer some result to me. That's what's in the purport. Prabhupada is making reference to that for the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If one doesn't do that, then the fruitive work is binding. Karma is accrued, and that binds one to the reactions of karma, which means, you know, that which is not of the interest to the soul, and therefore, even it may temporarily look nice. I have wealth, I have knowledge, I have beauty, I have good birth. Swavas is our temple president in Los Angeles, and our BBT trustee for North America. He has a lot of service. He was describing to us this past Wednesday of what it was like in Los Angeles when the TOVP came, you know, last Saturday. Now it's going to be coming here this coming Saturday. So one of the persons who was present was Ambarish, who was Henry Ford's grandson. And Swavas was describing, he spoke very nicely. He said, Ambarish said, I grew up in a family where I had anything that money could buy. Now just this fabulous wealth within the family. And not only I could have whatever I wanted, I could have 10 of whatever I wanted. You know, the latest and the best. But there was no happiness. It was very painful, very miserable. But I was looking and searching, and there was no happiness. And then Prabhupada came into my life. And he gave me some service. And to this day, I'm so grateful to Prabhupada for picking me up out of that life, my sensuous life of squandering valuable human energy and resources in sense gratification. Now, devotional service. I was like, yay. And as Prabhupada did with him, the whole of the Bhagavatam is meant to do for anyone who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, to take one from that, the unregulated to the regulated, and the regulated to offering the fruits to the Supreme, and from offering the fruits to the Supreme to recognizing life beyond this life, the eternality of the soul, and beyond the eternality of the soul, the real interest of the soul, which is this verse. That which speaks of naish karmya achyuta bhavam varjitam, where it's devoid of high-grade activities, non-fruitive activities, spiritually situated activities without glorification and acknowledgement of the infallible Lord. Not good. I had to correct a devotee, a disciple, some while ago. And it's not easy to do that. So I kept saying over and over again, this isn't okay, it's not so good. It's hard to speak and it's also hard to take. Not so good. That's what Narada is doing here with Vyas. Not so good. And that's the not so good is this impersonal conception. So what to speak of fruitive activities? Unless, so that the conclusion is, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord, that's this dovetailing language. So I like this. Krishna also likes this, so I'll do this and offer it to Krishna. Prabhupada said, for someone to be a good cook, they have to like eating. persons who, if you, this is Bhajan Narayan Swami was saying that Prabhupada said, a treasurer should be skinny, and a cook should be a little fatty. Because a good cook likes to eat, and a treasurer likes to be frugal. Anyway, so I like to eat, so I'll cook for Krishna. I like music, so I'll make music for Krishna, etc. I like this, and so that's the dovetail program. I like Krishna may also like, oh, that's convenient, so I'll do for Krishna. But it's not exactly just do for Krishna, it's a mix. But the verse is saying, if that is missing, if that do it for Krishna element is missing, it's just do it because you like it. The final sentence of the purport is, it's acutely miserable. Like Ambarish was describing. And, you know, others may not be so honest and say, oh, I'm enjoying. But the real standard of enjoyment is transcendental ecstasy. That's the real standard of enjoyment. Not the passing sensation of the sense contacting some sense object. And then there's that sensation is happiness, sense pleasure. The sense pleasure later turns to misery. I just responded to a letter from an elderly Vaishnavi who, in their elderly stage of life, they're in so much pain. They're just, this isn't working, and that isn't working, and it's not just they can't, part of the letter said they can't get up, even walk a few steps, it's just too painful, but just even lying there is so painful. So, janma mrityu jara vyadi, dukkha, dosha na darshanam, that's, it's knowledge to see, yes, this is, we made a big mistake. A devotee last night was sharing with me that in a course they're teaching, somebody realized, and of course just hearing from the spiritual teachings, that my original position is to be with Krishna, but I left my original position with Krishna to come here and engage in forgetfulness of Krishna activities. How unfortunate. And this devotee was miserable, just contemplating. So the idea is not become miserable because I recognized the foolish mistake, or you know the pain, the consequence of the mistake. I have a body, and birth, death, disease, and old age it's very difficult. I think Prematurangini, you sent me, may somebody sent me, this little video that a devotee had put together from the verses of the child within the womb. Was it you that sent that to me? You know, that the impregnation and the child growing in the womb and Shukadeva Goswami describing what that experience is like. It was well done, you know, good music in the background, you know, a violin going, that the child is turning in the worms are biting and the gastric airs and this and that, and head turned over and cramped up in a little bag, and then release, okay, now the child is born. And it just continues. Birth, disease, old age, and death. Even if one is, by past piety, one has a prosperous, you know, all the nice things. Good education, good birth, wealth, attractive bodily features. And then comes, you know, the unwanted elements. They're unavoidable. They come to everyone. They're not good. Unless minimally that the teaching must be there, offer those things to Krishna. And then go further beyond just offering those things to Krishna, not just the dovetail, but come to the unalloyed devotee. So that's the appeal of Narada to Vyasa, and that's what Bhagavatam is. It's making those distinctions quite clear. What is of the best interest of the soul? What is that position of real happiness? You know, the question that was being asked yesterday about not passing the ghee lamp to ladies first. Setu's daughter and her husband came over and they wanted to complain. We agree with him. You know, we disagree with your answer. And, you know, and he was more vocal than she was. You know.
That's the first time he came there.
Well, I don't know if he'll come again. He didn't like what I said. He didn't like, you know, this isn't protection, this is discrimination. We should all be equal. We should treat everybody equally.
How does he even know?
He has an opinion. It's just, you know, it's whatever you call it. It's the politically correct view of today. I don't want to get into it. I'm just bringing it up that, you know, notions are out there that rule people's lives that really don't connect with the need of the soul. You know, it's like, this is how people, you know, people should be treated with dignity. And if you can't treat people with dignity, you're not a good person. And treating people with dignity looks like this. And the idea of the soul's entanglement in matter and what's best to help the soul become unentangled from the entanglement to matter, that standard of happiness is not the lens. It's, you know, whatever the prevalent view is today. You know, so, you know, these are archaic ideas. That life, times have changed. I mean, it's not that specific to that, those two persons. It's modern view. It's not just women's liberation, is just a modern view of what's fair and what's right and what's just and what's good. And the entanglement of... So, you know, the Vedic picture of karma kanda is, you know, another view. And modern view is another view. But the idea of the soul being entangled in matter escapes them altogether. what the best means for the soul to become unentangled in matter. You know, we didn't have a happy conversation. Well, you know, it just was one of those. You end a conversation like that with, let's agree that we disagree.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the real problem, which is the impetus for fruitive activities, where does this really originate from? The impetus to do fruitive activities to begin with?
Well, the current is contact with the mode of passion. That is the impetus. But how do we come in contact with the mode of passion? How do we come in contact with the modes of nature? The original error is enjoyment separate from the Supreme. Raga dvesha samutina dvandva mohina bharata. The root cause of material existence is the soul turning away from Krishna. That's the point where it all begins.
And then it is a never-ending series of fruitive activities.
Just different varieties. You know, high grade, low grade, and in between. So higher planets, lower planets, and middle planets. That's, you know, the material creation is arranged to provide facilities according to the modes of nature, bodies and residential places, and senses and mind and intelligence according to the indications of the modes of nature, the desire to enjoy this way, the desire to enjoy that way. So that's the modes of nature, and then the other factor is karma. The bondage of the reactions of one's past activities. One is bound by both the modes of nature and karma. And it's literally endless, which sounds like, that's not nice, that's unfair. All the while, it's not unfair because all the while there's reminders besides prompts from material nature that says you're not enjoying. Besides material nature and super soul, then there's representatives canvassing. Please let go of these fruitive activities in the expectation of happiness through fruitive activities. Well, what else is there? That's all there is. That's all there is. People think like that. And if they think that there's something other than fruitive activities, generally, they'll think, well, it's just impersonalism. Even though that's like really abstract. What did that mean? Merging with Brahman. What did that mean? Ceasing to exist as an individual. What does that mean? But it's the alternative. That's the impetus. Like this, you know, topic you were speaking of, this young man that liked this meditation thing. It's just, you know, this, the misery of fruitive activities. It's right in Bhagavad Gita. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. Prabhupada explains this krodha, this frustration, is the birthplace of nihilistic philosophies, impersonalism and voidism. So people just go back to the discussion. What's the root of it? It's frustration. Why is it? Why is somebody attracted? I don't like this suffering program. And here's an option to the suffering program. But it's just like Novocaine or anesthesia. It's numbing. the suffering without, you know, experiencing the positive happiness. That's all it is. But the attraction is that the numbness. And then, you know, one becomes addicted to the numbness.
Yes, right.
Addicted to a narcotic that just makes me feel numb.
So here is someone who has been exposed to the practice of devotional service. He has an attraction for what Krishna consciousness is, and yet there is such a something is pulling him to do the.
But it's. The attraction for Krishna consciousness may not so much have been, you know, attraction to the loving nature of Krishna, but more the experience of relief from the distress of material existence without necessarily the feelings of love. That's higher.
But we cannot blame them also in the sense.
I'm not blaming, you're blaming.
I'm
just explaining how it happens.
It's so sad though, when
okay.
You see suffering so much, you know.
Okay, so you go to the rescue.
I cannot. I mean.
Yes, you can. We've talked about it. You provide the alternative. That it's not you, it's, you know, you're the instrument of. Here's the alternative. That's that, and this is this, which is more attractive. Anything else besides just getting stuck on this one topic? Anything else?
When you were mentioning about the stages of, I mean, the surrender, you mentioned the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, like the goal is to fix the mind on Krishna, use intelligence in service. If not, like, engage in regulative principles. I'm just thinking, not able to do that. The feeling of I'm not able to do, like, I'm not able, I'm feeling like I'm not able to. I've been trying to put my mind, like, you know, do some meditation, I mean, engage the mind, like I'm not able to even the regulative practices of bhakti, like I'm going, like it's like so up and down. Like by the mercy of Mataji, I understand that it's a feeling that it's the kind of anartha I'm facing, that I'm not able to do something like that, and then you know, then lack of acceptance. I'm going through the cycle, Guru Maharaj, so I'm just trying to ask how can I make it swifter? The primarily what I'm thinking is, since I'm not accepting it, like I'm trying to expect from others, and like, and it's kind of bringing some problem in the relationships.
Let me guess. That's the problem. Now, what to do? But you've heard the what to do so many times, what to do. So do. Abhyasa. Constant practice. And that constant practice makes the thing that you're practicing second nature, which means it replaces the other one. And then comes, you know, one of the chapter 2 of Madhurya Kadambini is there are different categories of unsteady bhakti, anishtita bhakti. And one of them is what you're describing. I know what to do, but I don't have the determination to do. I'm failing in my determination to regularly do. And when I don't regularly do, you know, the unwanted thing comes again. and it comes again, and just repeating, as you know. So that's unsteady bhakti. But it's not like, you know, you're the only one that's in this stage of unsteady bhakti. So now, okay, misery loves company, I'm not the only one. Now what to do? Just practice. As soon as the little light goes on, it says, oh yeah. It's spiritual education. You know, we're learning how to live our lives not in a rerun of material existence and over and over and over and over. And it's going over and over. It's a rerun. I don't want to be scripted like that. And then do it again and do it again and take birth and do it again. And do it again. And how many times have... How many births? This is not the first. Do it again, birth. So, learn the lesson, and you practice the lesson, you become proficient at the lesson. It's application. And continually practice the application principles that I'm sure you've heard n number of times. So it's not... Maybe it's embarrassing that it has to be repeated n number of times. Okay. Don't wallow in the embarrassment, though. Do the application part. Take that energy and place it over in the application arena. And keep practicing. Just keep practicing. Faithfully keep practicing. With the understanding what the purpose is. To become, you know, in a healthy condition as opposed to this unhealthy condition. We go from anishta to tunishta. That's an arjanavritti. We're going to spend, I'm thinking, you know, a couple of classes just on that chapter 4. Because it's so important. Rather than, you know, run off and do what the brahmacharis want to hear is like, you know, spontaneous devotional service, kijai. Prema Bhakti, yeah. I mean, it's nice to know what the goal is and envision what the goal is, but the work is in the Anartha-Nirvritti area. Same for you. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, for my clarification, what is actually Varnashrama Dharma?
What is actually?
Varnashrama.
I get bewildered when people say, what is actually? Like as if you weren't going to tell them what actually is. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is it doing your duty and then offering to Krishna like 10% or something like that? Or
tithing?
Pardon?
Tithing? You've heard the word tithing before? T-I-T-H-I-N-G, tithe, means you, some portion of what you earn, you give to the church, or give to the religious activity, you sacrifice for Krishna, some portion, that's tithing. Never heard that word, okay. Giving in charity, to religious activity. But doing it in a fixed manner, that's tithing. So is that what it means? Is that what Varnashrama means? That's your question? It's far more than that. It's far more comprehensive. It's a whole social system, not just the fruits. It's like, you know, the lady that asked the question, you know, we're not this body, but, you know, I have a woman's body. And what's my duty? Is it my duty to be the spirit soul or my duty to be a woman, although I'm not a woman? And so it's a social structure. It's a social system. The way that, in one sentence, what Shiva Maharaj, who's going to be, he's a real advocate, like strong advocate. And he's been invited to speak on this topic during our August meetings, and you know, August 18th morning, he's going to be giving a class on Varnashram. But the starting phrase is, this is what will separate ISKCON from the position of being another religion in the world that has this belief system, that belief system, to the world providing a social structure that Krishna has given. So it spans far beyond this belief, that belief. But, you know, divisions of labor, like Prabhupada spoke to Professor Katovsky in Moscow. You say, classless society, this is the slogan of communism. Classless society. But walking in the morning, I see there's a lady sweeping the street, and as she's sweeping the street, there goes the big limousine taking the politician to the Kremlin. I see divisions of labor, and you're a professor. So there's brahmanas, and there's kshatriyas, and there's shudras. And the shop's open, and there's all kinds of vaishyas. You say classless society, but there's divisions of labor. It's just natural. Because God created it. Krishna created it. Chaturvarnamaya Srishtam. So it's a social structure based upon acknowledgement of guna and karma. Not birth, but guna and karma. And how the whole of society can recognize the psychophysical nature that they have been endowed with. That's the body, gross and subtle. At the same time, recognize the soul. At the same time, recognize the soul. And so utilize the material circumstances, social structure-wise, in such a way it's conducive for the soul's ultimate journey. That's what Varnashram is.
So, when people practice Varnashram Dharma, is Krishna is in the... picture?
Of course, it's Daivi Varnashram, he is. There's Varnashram where God is out of the picture. Atheistic.
So what would be the difference right now, what we are following is ISKCON standards and trying to bring Varnashram Dharma?
That's a very good question. And it's bewildered the minds of many brilliant people for 30 years. No, the flip side, the reverse way of asking is, how do we go from where we are to what Varnashram is? Just, you know, the reverse way of asking the same question. Then you have to know what Varnashram is. And what is it? Is not clear. It's a social structure. Well, you can say many things. There's volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes written about it. And there's no agreement. Not an easy, it's elusive. Rather than going through, some people say this and some people say that, and some people say another thing. It's a social structure. That with Krishna in the picture, which is your question, Daivi Varnashram. Like Jarasandha, as an example. He respected brahmanas, but he didn't respect Krishna. So Krishna, knowing that, he and Bhima and Arjuna went to visit him disguised as brahmanas to ask for charity, because he would give charity to a brahmana. And the charity they wanted was that he would fight them. There is Varnashram with God's not in the picture. Asuric Varnashram. And there's Daivi Varnashram. There's Daivi, and you know, there's divine and demoniac nature, according to Bhagavad Gita.
Srila Prabhupada said that I wanted to introduce Varnashrama, but I couldn't do it. It's a safe net. I'm always being bombarded with the Varnashrama system has to be brought like that because it's very important. Something I ended up in so many arguments which I just said, okay, I don't know. From the devotees who are saying Varnashrama system has to be there.
Well, you know, to such a person, you can say, besides I don't know, I invite you, create an example. Teach by example. Don't say, you know, rah, rah, rah. Do. Create by example. And it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. It's easy to say, rah, rah, rah. It's another thing to do. That's one of the My Glorious Master, Bhurijan's book, one of the essential teachings that Prabhupada gave him, which he shares in the book, was don't find fault with others. Set the example yourself. You don't like? Set the example. Show. Don't criticize others because they're not showing. You show by example. It's that easy. So one person that can speak on this, having shown it, at least to my knowledge, is Shivaram Maharaj, because in New Vrajadham, they're really strong on the principle. Now I've seen, you know, misuses or even stronger abuses of that. Those that are advocates. You know who Vedasar is? Temple president in Atlanta? He's from Nepal, and he somehow ended up in the Mayapur Gurukul, he and his brother. He told this to me. And it was decided that he was a brahmana, and his brother was a shudra. So he just did, you know, a little boy, just did, you know, yajnas and stuff like that all day long. To the point now where he's kind of like, he has an aversion. Because he's just like, that's all he was allowed to do as a little boy. And his brother was considered a shudra, so all he did was shudra stuff. And he said, but actually he's a really good vaishya. So it's just imposed because we're believers in Varnashram and okay, you're over here and you're over there and you're over there. It's built resentment, not, you know, grown the person according to their nature. Let somebody show by example. Not easy to repeat so many times. It's not easy. To understand it seems to me like it has to be, you know, I don't know, like playing Radanga or cooking. You have to do it, not just like talk about playing Radanga. You have to become proficient, then you can explain this is what Radanga playing is. This is what cooking is. Yeah.
From my understanding, is that we in Kali Yuga we don't have classic.
No, it's not.
Brahmana, Kshatriya, or, you know. Because the modes are so mixed up. So one of the challenges I really see in creating that Varnashram is that people have mixed natures. So I guess even myself, there's a Brahmana, there's a Shudra, and it's strong. So, like, I don't know how.
Well, in response, I certainly thought of that one. Now, the conversation goes on and on without resolution. In short, on and on. It's something that was wanted. That's not a question. Wanted by our founder Acharya. Of course, there are places where he says it's not possible in this age of Kali, and therefore, he gives, you know, another, the Sankirtan Yajna. But he also, towards the end, and you know, anyway, the people that are the advocates say, this was my unfinished business, and so on and so on. So, and specifically because his followers were not chanting their rounds and chanting their Gayatris and taking the elevator method, they were still, you know, not properly applying the elevator method. And so, therefore, Varnashram is needed. One of the the application part, yes, is because things are so jumbled up. Nonetheless, we need some social structure until we're liberated transcendentalists. So, what is that social structure? What's the Varnashram? Krishna gave it. So how do we do it? Because things are all jumbled up. Well, we emphasize hearing and chanting strongly. That's first and foremost, okay. But then there's these jumbled up modes of nature, even for people who have been hearing and chanting strongly. What's the social structure? And we have to make allowances for the jumbled up, but we also have to have something structure. So what's that? Not clear. To be continued. And just another comment is, I've often thought the thought that you just expressed, that in this age things are all jumbled up. A second thought is, was it that in previous ages everyone was clearly in this bucket or that bucket or the other bucket, or were they also mixed? I think they were also mixed.
Predominance of, all the modes are there in everyone, but then
predominance. But there must have been, you know, there's variety. There must have been some overlapping.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, Vishvamitra. Mm-hmm. In so many. So it's. To be continued. Now, this verse isn't about Varnashram, so let's get off the Varnashram topic, because it's just wheel spinning. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki. Jai.